Welcome to Joyful Marketing. I'm Simone Soul, and I teach you how to get your life coaching practice fully booked without having to pay for ads, buy Instagram followers, or complicated sales funnels. It's not rocket science, and you can do it too. Listen on to find out how.
Hey, friends. If you've been a life coach for a long time, but creating a paying client feels mysterious AF, this episode is for you. Or maybe you're just freshly getting certified, or you're on the road to becoming a life coach and you're wondering, okay, am I ever going to be able to figure out the actual business side of it and get people to pay me? This is for you. I'm inviting to the show my client, Lori Krikorian, who is a member of the Joyful Marketing community. And, you know, she came in already having been a coach for 5 years, and she even had a beautiful website, but no paying clients. And within a short time in Joyful Marketing, she had a transformation that allowed her to not just sign her very first paying clients, but to have an experience that really made her feel like she had turned the faucet on amazing new opportunities and tons of client consults. I want you to get the insider's look at that journey and mine it for gold that you can take and apply towards your own business. Here's some of the things that we're going to talk about. We talk about how to navigate the difficulty of how much work to put in when you don't have any paying clients yet. And you feel like you're just like pouring all your money and effort and energy down the toilet, you know, and there's nothing about it that feels fun. And you have nothing to show for it. How to navigate that. How to grow out of your comfort zone when it comes to marketing, but without traumatizing yourself. We'll talk about how Lori invited God and spirituality into her consults and how that actually made everything easier. And she's also going to be sharing the money questions that got through to the heart of why she wasn't creating paying clients, even when she thought she totally believed in herself and totally believed in her coaching. We also talked about the top two massive thought errors that people have about how marketing works, which, you know, when you correct them, you actually start to let big money, big opportunities flow in. If you're a brand new coach looking forward to signing her first paying client, wondering what exactly it's going to take, this is for you. And this episode is also for you if you've been at it for a while, but you feel stuck, you're not creating clients, and you want to make the few key shifts that it's going to take to truly turn the faucet back on for clients, money, and opportunities. So without further ado, here's my conversation with the wonderful Lori Krikorian. Enjoy.
I'm Lori Krikorian. I'm a self-discovery coach. And I help women and girls overcome their insecurities, grow in their confidence, and thrive in life.
Amazing. And you are now a paid life coach.
I am.
What's
after
that
being
like?
A life coach for 5 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's something that I really connected with you on, like the experience of being a life coach for a really long time. You know, putting everything that I had into it and not knowing really what to do, and nothing was working. Like, I had a gorgeous website. I had all the, you know, all the things that I thought I was supposed to have, but it just wasn't, nothing was working. So
I want to know more about your story. Like, how did you become a life coach 5 years ago? And what's your journey been like since? I mean, you started to talk about it, but back it up a little bit further.
Okay. So I was in network marketing and I loved the experience that I was having because it was so transformational, but I wasn't in integrity with the product that I was selling. I just didn't feel like it was worth what we were selling it for. And I really, like, integrity is so important to me. So I was like, you know what? This experience that I'm having, like the mindset shifts, the growth, and all of that is so worth it. And honestly, I think it wasn't even that the products weren't good. It was a little advanced for me. We were teaching like people how to do network marketing online. So it was like online marketing tutorials. And I came into the game not knowing what a domain was. So it was like just really over my head. But what I was experiencing, the growth, the mindset shifts, all of that was so good that I wanted to give that to people. But I wanted to know that if they were coming onto my team, I was going to give them something more than just that. And it was going to be worthwhile. So I decided to become a coach. And then two things happened between signing up for coaching school and actually starting. One was I decided to leave the company that I was with. And the second thing was that I got pregnant with my second child. So I actually went to like my third module of coaching school, with which was a live intensive, like 3-day weekend class with a 3-week old baby.
Oh my goodness. Bless you.
Yeah, it was fun.
You were committed.
I was so committed. So I had my second baby. Yeah. And then I had a third one. All my kids, I have 3 kids and they're all 4 years apart from one another.
Oh, wow. So
So we like, the running joke is we F up every 4 years. So yeah, it was like, it was this combination of like, you know, having a desire to, and a dream that I wanted to build upon, but wanting to also raise my family, and the tug of war between the two and trying to balance it all. And I think my husband and I were both giving into like societal expectations and roles and how we fit into it all. So that took a little while too for us to figure out.
Do you mean like because of societal expectations, it was hard for you to like own being a life coach and like really be out with it? Or what do you mean by that? Or like you had trouble giving yourself permission to really like work and grow your own business alongside being a mom? How do you mean?
I think I gave myself the permission to do all of that, except how much I committed myself to it when I wasn't seeing results yet was difficult. Mm. It was difficult for everyone to understand how much I can put into this when I don't have clients yet, when I'm not making money yet. And really what one of the things that I've learned through you is like, we're like making a baby, you know, that's when you have to put in a lot of work.
She's referring to in one of the coaching calls in Joyful Marketing recently, I compared the first part of building a business to the first trimester of pregnancy, when it looks like when all you're doing is just like suffering and it just sucks and you don't even look pregnant. Like people can't even tell what's happening. It just looks like you're getting more and more bloated and you feel sick all the time and there's nothing to help you enjoy the pregnancy yet because all you feel is sick. But then the reason that you feel so awful is because even though the baby at that point, the fetus is so small, that's when you have the miracle of something going from like just like a few cells to a whole full-fledged human being by the end of that period. So it's creating like a heart from scratch. It's creating organs and a brain and bones and skin from nothing. And it's the craziest, most miraculous process. And from the outside, it looks like nothing is happening and the mom feels like crap. And so I thought that was such a perfect metaphor for the first part of you building your coaching business, because yeah, like you said, you're investing all of this energy. You're trying all these things. It doesn't look like anything's working. You feel like an idiot. There's nothing about it that feels enjoyable. And okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit. It's not that there's nothing about it that feels enjoyable, but.
Oh no, you're not exaggerating.
Okay.
It's true.
But compared to the miracle that's taking place, it looks like you have nothing to show for it. And other people aren't even noticing what's happening. They're like, what's wrong with you? Right. And then, and so that was like the first trimester, and Lori really connected with that. But then when you're there, it looks like, it feels like it's going to last forever. Right.
It really does. And I think for me, where I really was during those 5 years was like, I was throwing myself so outside of my comfort zone that it was painful. Mm. It was hard to do. And the thought of doing it was like so fear-inducing that I wanted to stay safe in my comfort zone. It was like a paralyzing fear where I couldn't take any action at all, because when I did, there were very extreme measures.
It's like you like threw yourself into trauma responses.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what I love that. I love to hear that you went to Stacey Bayman's 2K for 2K first. Like what made you change your mind when you were first like, I don't like group coaching? Cause that's what a lot of people think when they think about joining a program where it's not like a one-on-one coach. They think they have assumptions about what it might be, what it might mean. And they don't think they'll get as much value out of somebody paying like direct attention to them. So what got you to change your mind?
So I got in the car. It was a Tuesday afternoon right before COVID lockdown.
Oh, wow.
And I got in my car or Thursday or something. I got in my car and I went to pick up my kids and she introduced me to Stacey's podcast and I started to listen to it in the car. And I was like, within the first like 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, I'm totally signing up to this.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to do it when the baby starts daycare.
Mm.
And if this was in March, I joined, it was the beginning of March when I started listening. By April 29th, I joined 2K.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I started listening to all the podcasts. Then I came across your podcast and I just connected to your story so much because you also had been a coach for a really long time, not really earning money. And everything changed when you found these systems. And I feel like with Joyful Marketing, it's such a compliment. It's such a good compliment to what is already existing within 2K. But like the marketing aspect of it is so daunting for so many people. Yeah. And you make it so easy.
That was my intention. However, you came into my program and by the way, it's like kind of weird to, it's just weird for me to talk about other people's programs, but you know, everybody knows I'm also in 2K. I love Stacey. She's my coach. And I have to admit, I do love hearing that my program is a great compliment to 2K. Cause I really agree. Like, cause I've gotten questions like, oh, they're both programs that help you sign clients. What's different about it? I'm like, everything is different. It's like, there's nothing, no overlap in terms of content at all. And the vibes are very different, but I have to say, I really agree. Like both really complement each other well. All right. So you came into Joyful Marketing, but then you got coached by me, I think a couple of times in the live coaching calls, and you had to do some work to start shifting the mindset that you had before, which was not creating clients for you. And I remember seeing you going from kind of like confused and feeling a little bit defeated. Like you'd always been very passionate about coaching. You'd been very talented as a coach, but when it came to marketing and selling, you were a bit in a bit of, you know, like, if this is not working, I'm confused. What should I do? And frustration about it. And then something flipped the switch. So tell us about that. What was it like in the beginning? Like, what were your thoughts? And then what changed?
I think the way that you teach the program is so good because it really got me into taking action. And I wasn't throwing myself outside of my comfort zone so much that I was in that trauma response. It was like small steps that were totally doable. And I was kind of willing to do more, but you're like, no, dumb it down a bit. Like do less and do it more often.
What was that about?
Like, I told you to do less. The garbage post. We talk a lot. I think anytime that somebody from Joyful Marketing comes on your podcast, we talk a lot about the garbage post challenge, you know? And you're like, you know, I like to sit down and make these like elaborate long posts about like my insights of life. And
I'm like, make it dumber and shorter and easier on yourself. Like,
that's cool. If you want to do that, if you enjoy it, do it for the joy of doing it, but don't do it because you think that that's what you have to do to sell. Mm-hmm. That's not it at all. Like just, I mean, the other day I shared that I'm watching Teeny Bopper movies and, you know, and then people are like, oh, I like Teeny Bopper movies too. And then they're like, oh, who is this person? Let me get to know her a little bit better.
Yeah. I think so much of it is when people come into Joyful Marketing, marketing feels very serious. And like, you have to put on this, like your top performance, and they have such high expectations of themselves that the whole operation feels really paralyzing and it's not fun. And when it feels heavy and pressury, not only is it difficult to take lots of action, you also constantly have to process the feelings of like expectation followed by like deflated, like disappointment. And I think one of the first things that we do for you when you come to Joyful Marketing is like, is get you to play with what it's like to radically lower those expectations. Stop making it so serious. Stop, you know, making every piece of content that you produce has to be like your magnum opus, right? And start playing instead, right? Just like be silly. If you're a silly person, like be yourself, like talk about how you watch teeny bopper movies. Like don't let something be, you know, shared from your life, just like brief snapshots, and let it be imperfect. Let it be messy. Let it be a true reflection of the fact that you are a living, breathing human being who just does not look Instagram perfect all the time and who doesn't sound like that all the time, right? But that's the part that's like the hardest for people, right? It's like so hard for people to like let go and let loose a little bit. And that's the part I have to really drill in, like, no, make it dumber, make it shorter, make it lower expectation. Like, and once they get that, they're like, oh, wait, I can do this. This is fun. Oh, wait, people respond better when I do this. Oh, wait, it's more fun for me and they want to buy from me more. What? And then they learn, right? Was that your experience too?
Yeah. It was like my long posts, I do it because I love to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I love to express myself in that written form.
Yeah.
Right. And I like to take the time to work out and organize my thoughts. And I feel like the written form gives me the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
But my short little posts that are about nothing get much more engagement. And, you know, so it's like I was totally making it a lot harder than it had to be.
Yeah.
And one of the things that happened to me was that somewhere along the line, because I kept doing this, I had like exponential growth and I didn't realize it. My comfort zone grew and I didn't realize it. So at some point I was actually not getting results because I wasn't putting myself outside of my comfort zone. Because this had become my comfort zone very quickly and it snuck up on me because it was so easy.
So like sharing freely and really making it easy for yourself to connect with people, like that became your new normal and it became easy and it snuck up on you. And how did you go from that to like signing your first client?
A few things happened.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing that I felt like I was struggling with was like, okay, I'm doing all the things and it's not working. And you coached me on that. And you're like, you're saying, I'm like, well, I know I can do this, 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 that to make it, you know, to do more. And you're like, no, it's not about what you're doing. It's your thoughts. Your thoughts are breaking somewhere. So I'm like, I don't even know what she's talking about.
Yeah. But so your belief, there's a place where your belief is breaking and you weren't aware of it. Because you were telling yourself that I completely believe. And I was like, if you're not getting the results you want, you don't completely believe. And we have to figure out where so we can start to fix it. Right?
Yeah. And I didn't even know where to start with that. I didn't know what to do or where to start. And then I was having a trauma response to it because I was like, what? I need to figure this out and I can't. And I don't know where to start. And I'm freaking out. And one of the things that you taught me from a previous coaching call was like, when you sit down to do your thought work, it's not for you to like beat yourself over the head for not getting it. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and that's what I was doing. So obviously I wasn't getting anywhere. So I had to like relax a bit, you know, and like tone it down and have a dialogue with my inner child and be like, it's okay that we're not getting this, but mm-hmm. we're going to figure it out. We can do this. Like, let's see what's going on. Let's just see what's going on in our brain. And we're just going to look at it. I'm not going to get mad at you about it.
That is so big. I think like number one reason self-coaching doesn't work for people and they think they're self-coaching, but they're traumatizing themselves more is because instead of talking to themselves with curiosity and compassion, they start the self-coaching by bullying themselves, right? just kind of like, oh, I got to figure this out. What's wrong with you? We're lost. And then you just like start with this huge expectation. And of course that makes you shut down. And of course that makes it very difficult for you to learn, because it's so hard to be curious when somebody's like yelling at you. And usually the person yelling at you is you, right? And so it's so amazing that you caught that. And I think that's so important for people to hear. Like, if you're trying to figure out, okay, so let me look at my beliefs. Where can I believe more? Where is my belief breaking? Like, let me look at my own mind and my own thoughts. You will not be able to go very far when you're coming at it from like, as if
you better figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got like a whip and standing over the shoulders of like your inner child and saying, go, what's wrong with you? And it's like, that is a terrible, terrible place to be.
Yeah.
And then you eased up, you drop the whip and you're like, oh, listen, like, oh, I love you. We're going to figure this out. Nothing has gone wrong. Right. And you like start being nice to yourself instead. And then what did you learn?
Okay. So then I was able to evaluate my progress up until that point. And I went out and I started getting coached on this. And so there was a series of things that happened. One was that, so one of the beliefs that I had was that nobody in my circle was going to buy coaching. You know, I had like an idea of who was on my Facebook feed and who is on my Instagram feed. And I'm like, yeah, nobody wants to buy coaching from me.
That thought error number one, I already know who's following me. That's 100% always a thought error. People believe it. People believe that they know who's following them. You don't know. You know, like 5% of who's following you and who's paying attention to you. And I don't care how certain you think you are, you're wrong. There are always way, way more people who are observing you and interested in you than you think. And second of all, the second biggest thought error is thinking that they're not interested in coaching just because they haven't said a peep yet, right? There's way more people following you and there's way more people interested in coaching than you know. Because you doubt those things, that's why they're not showing up for you, right?
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things that I got coached on was like, you know, do you believe that people will hire you? And I'm like, oh shit, I don't. Mm-hmm. So I started to work on that belief. And then I started to do the math. I'm like, okay, fully booked is like 20 people, right? So how many percent of my Instagram followers is that? Or how many percent of my Facebook followers is that? And I realized that the number for my Instagram is 0.66%. And on Facebook, it's 1.2%. 1.2%. And I'm like, okay, that's totally doable.
That's good math. Like Lori's math is right. And the actual percentage is even smaller because Instagram and Facebook do not account for everyone who is connected to you by like life, right?
Yeah. And association. Yeah. So that's the next thing I realized. Cause one day I woke up and I was tagged in someone's post, someone I didn't know, but someone I knew had tagged me in it. And I wasn't sure what was going on. And when I went to check, this person I didn't know was asking her Facebook followers, who knows a life coach? I need a life coach. And my ex-boyfriend from 20 years ago, his cousin tagged me. Because at this point, I've been making like 3 garbage posts a day. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows I'm a life coach. Because I thought, this is what I thought. I thought, I go and I become a life coach. I post my certificate on Facebook or Instagram one time.
And everybody knows
I'm a life coach. And they're going to come to me when they want it. And that's not how it works. You got to tell them all day, every day, a few times a day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we vastly overestimate how much attention other people are paying us.
Yep.
Right. Like I always say, nobody's looking at you. Nobody's thinking about you as much as you're thinking about you at all. And I'm going to offer another thought, which is very, which is applicable to you as much as it is still applicable to me, which is my intentional thought that 99% of your future clients have not heard of your name yet. This is so true for Lori, like literally Because this is, I offer you this thought to combat the other thought, like, oh, everybody already knows, everybody already has heard this. It's like, no, think about, this is assuming you want to be a life coach for life, which I'm going to be coaching until I die, I hope. And I have like, we both have like decades and decades of work ahead of us, and we're going to be changing hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, who knows how many lives. And I just got started. Like 99% of my future clients don't have never heard the name Simone Soul. And it just, that thought gets me motivated to go out and tell people what I do and help them and put my shit out there without that. There's, oh, well, everybody already knows that, you know, just it totally expands my concept of like who I want to be talking to and how much effort I want to put into it. Right. What are your thoughts?
I totally agree with that completely.
Yeah. So you had that expansion too. It's like, oh, it's actually so few people, and your ex-boyfriend from 20 years ago's cousin said, hey, I think I know a life coach. This chick, Lori. And this, yeah. did that become your first client?
No.
Okay. No.
So she booked a consult though.
Yeah.
She booked a consult. And it went really well. And she was like, when do we start? And then I lost control of the call. And I was like, what is going on? And then I got coached on that. Yeah. And here's the thing. Okay. Here's the thing. The cool thing about this, like, it's not just your program and all the juicy stuff that you teach us. That's like golden nuggets that we've all been waiting for so long. It's also the community. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's the best.
So the community of coaches have coached me and helped me so much. So yeah. I got coached about this, and I went from thinking like, oh, I failed her because I lost control of that consult, to like, you know what? I trust her. I trust that, you know, she got as far as finding me.
Mm-hmm.
I trust that she has got this. Whether she's going to figure it out and come back to me, or whether she finds someone else to help her, this girl has got it together and she's going to figure it out. And that's, I trust that.
Beautiful abundance thought. Love that.
Yeah.
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 And then there was also something like I, whatever I was able to give her, it was exactly what she needed. And that conversation was like complete, right? It's not like the story of that conversation isn't like I lost control. It's like, no, she's got it. And I gave her exactly what she needed.
Yeah. So what I did after that was like, I figured out where I lost the conversation, or lost like, you know, control of the conversation, so to speak, like the energy, like I just gave it away.
Yeah.
And then I learned what I could have done.
Yeah.
You know, had I done it differently, I set out a goal that I learned from you was to, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do 20 consults. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to do 20 consults. I'm going to become so freaking good at these consults that nobody is going to get on a call with me and leave unserved. That's my goal.
That's so good. That's an amazing winning result. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, so that's what I set out to do. I set the intention. And then after that, like, I actually reached out to a friend who is an acquaintance that I haven't really met in person yet, but we've become friends. We met right before COVID and just have connected via phone. She lives in the city. And I called her because I needed to ask her about something else. And she was like, why are you calling me? I was just praying for someone, like for God to send me help. And like, you called me.
Wow.
And yeah. And so we started talking. We had a few conversations like before that too, a few days before that. And then I called her and I'm like, have you ever considered doing a consult with me? And mm-hmm. she's like, no, actually I haven't. And she's like,
you asked her that.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. I take notes when you talk. Okay. So you have described this thing where you're like picture a room,
mm-hmm.
picture 10 chairs, you know, all your clients aren't going to come in at once. They're going to come one at a time. So have a conversation. Like, and you told me to do that too, where I was like, okay, like I am linked to my client and I'm linked to God. And there's like this, there's something that's more powerful than us at play here. So I started to pray on it, and I started to pray that God sends me the clients that I can help. Like, I didn't want to go about this from ego, where I'm trying to serve my own ego or my own idea of who I am or whatever, right? I want to serve the people that I can help, the people like that God is going to put into my life, and the people that he's going to take me and put into their life. And that's, you know, that's the sacred bond that I'm looking for with my clients. So I prayed on it, and this was a while back. And then I started getting these like names started coming to my mind. And you know, when you start off this work, you're like, well, I don't know if that's actually God talking to me.
Like, I don't know if
that's really, you know, and I'm going to test it. No, I believed it. And I had told her a few months ago, actually, I'm like, I think this is what's going on. Why don't you pray on it and see what happens? So now I call her and she's like, I was just praying and God sent me you. And I'm like, yeah, let's do a consult. I recognized it. You know, she didn't, but I did.
Yeah.
And Simone, my first call with her, it was like she got back 10 times more than what she invested in the coaching with me. So like, I'm not a business coach, but in her business, like in her career, she got like, she's going to get 10 times and then some.
Wow.
Back.
Just from that first call.
Just from the first call.
So good. I think that's like, we talk about, there's a big emphasis on that in joyful marketing, right? Like when you stop thinking that it's you and your brain and your effort and your will doing everything. And there's a, there's has to be a part where you connect to the greater force. When you connect to, I mean, I call it the spirit of your business, but you can also say God, whatever, however you connect to spirituality. And just be like, okay, we're working together. This is a collaboration between my will and the will of God, the will of the spirit of my business. And it's working for me. And when you hand over, you know, the power and control to that and show up in service and humility and just thinking about the other person, it's miracles start to happen like that. And somebody's thinking about you and you end up calling them, and these like magical moments, they can only happen and you can only notice them after you've allowed yourself to kind of like plug into the magic. That's the part where like, I want to normalize, not just inside the joyful marketing program, but just like, if you're following me, like I want to normalize that for you. It's like, stop thinking of marketing and all of business as like you just doing it all alone. You're being supported. There's a force in the universe that's cheering you on, that wants to help you out, that wants to create opportunities for you, that wants to connect you to the very people that you can serve the most. And how you get it working for you is to acknowledge that it's working for you in the first place and to ask it, right? Ask God, ask the spirit of your business, like, hey, what can I do, right? How can I let myself be supported? So that was a story of, so that's how she became your first client. Mm-hmm. And what about your second client?
So the other thing was that happened is one of the amazing people that I met in your program was Kristen King. So she was like, so we connected, like there's so many women in your group that I've connected to that these are like my soul sisters, you know?
They really are.
And yeah, they really are. And so Kristen, one day we were just chit-chatting and she's like, hey, I'm doing a pop-up coaching. Why don't you come on? And I'm like, girl, I just rolled out of bed. And she's like, that's okay. I'm in my PJs. And I'm like, okay. So I showed up, she had just finished with someone and she's like, so what do you want to get coached on? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. So we start talking and I was like, oh, I think, you know, I want to do like these webinars and, you know, cause I'm making offers, like I'm posting things and talking about my ideas and stuff, but I'm not doing a call to action to book a call with me. Right. And she was just, anyway, she coached me through it. And basically she gave me the idea to do like a garbage offer challenge. We just take your garbage post challenge and turn it into whatever we need, whatever we're not doing.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So everybody kind of like has morphed it into what they needed to be after getting the experience of like how great the garbage post challenge is. And so that's what I did. So I started making posts about booking a consult with me every day. And people started to respond. Honestly, Simone, it seemed like I turned like the fire hose on.
Yeah.
Like that's how fast it was coming in. And I started to freak out a little bit. Uh-huh. But now, okay, so I started to freak out over it. And for like a week, I'm like, oh, I don't know why I'm freaking out. I don't know where what my thoughts are. And yesterday on the coaching call, other people were getting coached. And I figured out what was going on. I figured out what my thoughts were. And I was like, oh, I freaked out because it was happening too fast. And I think it's happening too fast and it's out of control. I'm like, ah, I can work on that now that I know what it is.
Yeah. So hold on. That was, when was the second client?
Like they were like 5 days apart or something.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it was like in the fire hose stream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because then I got another consult and she was a yes. And then it was a yes, but no, you know, was like really happening like fast.
Yeah.
So
what's it like to now be like, I know how to create demand for my coaching and I know how to create consults and it's not a mystery to me anymore. The reason that I really wanted to have you on is because I think, you know, compared to like, oh, I made $1 million, like six figures, whatever. But like, I think the most pivotal moment, like in my own life too, and in the life of any entrepreneurs is when they go from feeling like clients and money is mysterious and out of my control to like, oh, I create it. Like I have power over it. I know what to do to turn the faucet on, to turn the fire hose on. And I think that is the beginning of everything. So that's why I wanted to sort of like have you on and document it while it's still relatively fresh on your mind. So what's it like now that you're like, yeah, I know how to turn it on. I know how to create clients.
Now it just seems so easy.
I love it.
It seems so easy. Like it's so funny because the day I got the emails asking me to come on the podcast, I was at Walmart and I came home. And just before I got into the house before bedtime, I like just took a minute, braced myself. And I'm like, let me just take this minute to myself. I opened my emails. I saw your email. And this was one of my LOL goals.
Okay. So LOL goal, I think I talked about it before in my podcast. I don't know. Is LOL, like literally laugh out loud goal, is when you set a goal that seems so ludicrous that it makes you laugh. Like, yeah, right. Like that's an LOL goal. And I tell my clients to set LOL goals. Being on my podcast is one of your LOL goals. Yeah.
Yeah. So being on your podcast was definitely one of my LOL goals. And I certainly didn't think that it was going to come this quickly.
Yeah.
So wow. I see the email and I'm like, holy shit. Like tears of joy are just streaming down my face because I can't believe it's all happened. Like it's just that I'm telling you that like faucet was just turned on and it was like, whoa. So I walk into the house and I'm crying. And my husband's like, are you crying? What's wrong with you? What's going on? And my daughter's like, mom, what's wrong? And I'm like, I just got an email. Someone wants me to be on her podcast. My husband's reaction was like, I'm not even surprised. I'm not surprised by anything that you tell me anymore. That's You've so worked beautiful. So hard for this. You deserve every success that you get. And I'm just not surprised. Like, we've been popping bottles of champagne a lot in here.
That's so beautiful. I think it's such a testament to not only how hard you've worked and how resilient you've been and how curious you've been, right? Like you stayed so curious in Joyful Marketing with every bit of coaching I offered you. Like you studied so hard and you implemented everything. And not only that, but how much you trusted spirit and how much you let yourself lean on God and you're Christian. So you talked about how you think of it as like the Holy Spirit, right? And I think that is just a magical combination, like really showing up for the work and then also surrendering to the higher power to have your back. And I think that's what unleashed all of the magic. So I think you're such an example of what's possible. Any last words of wisdom or advice?
I do have advice, but before I get into that, I want to mention one more thing that I did that I think played a huge role in getting me to where I am today. So I booked my first client a week after I turned 40. So leading up to my 40th birthday, I got very nostalgic about my last 30 days in my 30s. And my 30s for me was really like my self-discovery era, my self-discovery decade. And, you know, that's how I coined the term self-discovery coach. And one of the things that I was doing is that I wasn't celebrating my wins or focusing on my wins, you know, leading up to that point. So I had taken it for granted. And then I felt a little confused about how I can help people, right? Because I hadn't acknowledged all the growth that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
So I took those last 30 days of my 30s and I paid homage to my 30s. And I came up with like every day on that countdown was like something that I thank God for, the blessings that he gave me in my 30s, you know, learning how to say yes to myself, learning to invest in myself, trusting myself, setting boundaries, learning what my boundaries were. Like every single day I sat down and I reflected to find like, what is a gift that my 30s gave me? What is growth and learning that I found in my 30s that helped me become who I am today? Because today I'm this confident woman who steps into my power, is not afraid of failure. I, you know, if somebody steps over their boundaries with me, I calmly and confidently tell them what's what.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have a choice. Like they can continue to do the behavior, but they can't be a part of my life if they do. Mm. And either way, it's okay. So all of this growth came from that. And I had to take a moment to reflect on it. And what that was is the concept that you teach is the breakthrough of having.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites. It's like taking responsibility for what you've created in your life, taking responsibility for what's good that you earned, right?
Yeah.
Celebrating yourself.
So I think that really set the stage for what came after that. And what did come after that, it was like this, like, it was just so quick. It was like a domino effect, you know?
Oh, good. Yeah. If you haven't done that yet, if you haven't really taken intentional time consistently to really look at where you are proud of yourself in your life and what you're so proud to have created and take full responsibility for having been the creator of so much good to celebrate yourself, then you are probably missing out on a huge piece of the marketing puzzle that allows you to show up in your full power, because that's like leaving half of your power in the attic when you show up to your clients to talk to your clients when you're not fully owning your own accomplishments and you don't even begin to notice what's there until you start actually thinking about it. So that's really good. That's really good advice. Yeah. And I teach about what I call the breakthrough of having, which is that, you know, breakthroughs don't just happen when new fancy things happen in your life. Breakthroughs happen in your own mind, in your own heart, when you begin to like up-level your self-concept based on owning what you've already created so far. And so I teach that a lot more in depth in Joyful Marketing. So come learn. Was there another thing you wanted to mention or was that it?
Having reflected on all of that, what I realized was that who I've become today is like, there are women who are suffering in solitude because they don't know how to step into their power in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can teach them how to do that because I've created it myself. And it created a sense of loving urgency, which is another concept that you teach.
Yeah.
And I was like, because before I was like, yeah, everything's going to happen. Like, I know it's going to happen. So like, I'm chill. It's going to happen when it happens. And then when I realized like what I have to offer to this world and that women are actually suffering because they don't know how to do these things yet. And I thought back at who I was 10 years ago, I was like, no, screw that. Like, I need to get out there right now. I need to shout it from the rooftops. I need to tell people that this is here and it's available to them. If they want it, they need to come and get it. And it's like, I have to do it now. I have to get it out there. So it just created this like sense of urgency. And I think that's what it was. Like, that's why there were so many requests for consults, because I'm like, you need everybody. Like, if I, because I'm putting stuff out there and I'm really sharing all of my vulnerabilities. And when people are reading that and they see me in the streets or whatever, you know, because like, Simone, another thing is that like my Facebook list is like, if I meet you, you were my waitress and I connected with you and I loved you, I added you to Facebook. So okay. It's like my network.
It's your village. Like,
it's a network that I've been honing it for a while, right? And I was like, so people see me and then they open up to me. And they're opening up to me about their like, no, I know where this is coming from. It's like my wound of like not being good enough, or I'm not lovable, or I'm not worthy. I'm not. And I'm like, you don't have to live with that. You don't have to. So book a consult with me. Let's do it. Like, you know what I mean? That, yeah, it was born. The sense of urgency was born.
Loving urgency is something I teach in Joyful Marketing. And if you're feeling like kind of like blah about marketing, most likely what's happening is that you're forgetting how many people are suffering because they don't have what you can offer, what you're probably taking for granted in yourself, right? And they don't even know what they're missing and they don't even know where to begin to look for it. Like, it's so easy to think about that in my own life before I knew what coaching was. It's like, I just thought life just had to be miserable. Like, I didn't know anybody who didn't think so. And I had no idea there was another way. And it's like, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I remember how much pain I was in. And when you remember that too, about how many people are in pain because they don't know that they don't know about your medicine, that's going to like kick your butt into gear in the most like loving, in the most loving service-based way. So that's another super, super fuel, I think, for you to go market from love and integrity. Lori, these are just the most amazing insights. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing them with my audience. And if somebody wants to work with you, how can they come find you? How can they connect with you?
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram. You'll find me under Busy Moms Big Dreams. I don't only help moms, but that is my Instagram account for now. And you can find me on Facebook. And on Facebook, it's just Lori Krikorian. So come and find me. And what I want to say is that if you're listening to this and there's something inside of you that's like, oh, I want to get in on this. Yes, I'm feeling the pull. Don't turn a deaf ear to that. Like, act upon it. This is the first step that you take in stepping into your power. It's admitting to yourself that, yes, I want this and I can have it.
So good. Thank you for offering that. I know that this is just the beginning, like literally just the beginning of you taking over the world. I look forward to witnessing it from the sidelines and getting to support you further. And I will talk to you later back in Joyful Marketing. And bye, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Hey, if you want a shot of fresh inspiration and actionable tips to improve your marketing every single week in your inbox, you better get on my email list. Sign up to receive my free ebook called 20 Unsolicited Copy Tips. It's been known to get people to come out of the woodwork and ask to work with you. So get on that link in the show notes, and I'll see you in your inbox next time.